Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now from our Old Testament reading today, the 56th chapter of Isaiah, especially the 7th verse. We'll read the rest of it a little bit later as well. But God says this, "These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." This is God's word. Please be seated. So, do you have a dream for your kids or your grandkids? Or for your career, perhaps, or maybe a dream to go see something maybe you haven't seen yet, or to go somewhere you haven't gone before. Do you have a dream for our nation, our hurting nation right now? Remember when Martin Luther King expressed his dream in that iconic speech at the Lincoln Memorial in March of 1963? And he said these words. He said, "I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream," he said, "that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream," he said, "that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. Powerful ideas and stirring words." And back in the day, there were many who considered that kind of rhetoric to be dangerous, and so King became a marked man, and of course, as you know, was eventually assassinated. But with all of the vicious rhetoric that is flying around these days, with all of the vitriol that people are hurling at each other in social media and on the streets of our cities, and with real danger boiling over in our cities, now King's dream doesn't seem so dangerous anymore, does it? But very noble and beautiful, even as it seems to be slipping away through our fingers more and more each day. But now it seems, instead of a brotherhood of mankind sitting down at the table together, now we get lumped into these identity groups that are pitted against each other because the interests of my group conflict with the interests of your group, and now it's not about you or me as individuals anymore, or even about the greater good of our nation, but now it's about my tribe against your tribe. Blacks will make progress only if whites are diminished. The poor will advance only if the rich are plundered. Women will gain power only if men are cut down. If my group is going to win anything, your group is going to have to lose something. And we are just so divided. Lord, we are divided. I don't think any words were more aptly spoken than when Jesus described the devil as a thief, who comes only to kill and steal and destroy. And he is hard at work, isn't he? But did you know that God has a dream for us too? And one articulation of that dream is this beautiful Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. Let me read it now. "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to Him, to love the name of the Lord and to be His servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. In these days of ugly rhetoric and all of the violent divisions among us, when people are hurling bricks and all kinds of insults at each other, there is something so beautiful about this dream, isn't there? All the nations of the world, once defiant in their rebellion, addicted to the worship of things that are not God, all returning to the living God in worship and obedience. All of the peoples of the world alienated from God by the power of their sin and their idolatry, and alienated from each other by all of the injustice and the prejudice, all reconciled to God and to one another. And God is worshipped in His house, a house of prayer for all the nations. A verse which you might remember Jesus Himself quoted. God has a dream, you see. And it's a powerful dream. A dream of God in His heaven, and all is right with the world. Isaiah here is dreaming God's dream. God has a dream of taking His world back from the thief who stole it away. God has a dream of gathering all of the nations to His holy mountain after their long desert sojourn under the power of sin and death. God has a dream of being their God again after their adultery with gods of a bewildering variety. God wants His world back. And that is a dream worth dreaming. And it's a much, much bigger dream than any of us would ever dare to dream, isn't it? Especially in these days. You know, back in the days of Isaiah, the kings downsized God's dream when they dreamed of peace in Zion, a dream which they believed would be realized through human cunning and political means and international alliances and strong armies and fortified cities, because those were the kinds of things that would bring peace to Zion, right? No. But we do the same thing. In our day, we also downsize God's dream. And we act as though we will achieve peace only through politics. We believe somehow that by insurrection we will find our way back to Eden. That by fomenting violence we will somehow discover our Shangri-La. And that if we just elect the right president, the right representatives, the right governors, maybe we can create our own little paradise. How puny are our dreams. And yet, also, how futile. Because no matter how much we have downsized God's dream, the fulfillment of even our puny dreams still seems so elusive to us. We can't even bring about peace in the streets of Portland or Seattle, much less bring the nations together. But unlike our downsized dreams, God's big dream is not impossible at all. For as Jesus says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible through Christ who loved us, who gave Himself for us, so that all who believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And it's a good thing, isn't it? That God's dream did not wait for our dreams. Who could have dreamed that God getting His world back would come about when the dying of our world was taken up into the dying of His own Son on Calvary's holy mountain? Who would have ever dreamed that the reality of the new creation would come about when Jesus, God's Messiah, woke up from the dead early one Sunday morning in a garden tomb on the first day of the week, the first fruit of the new creation. For my salvation will come, says the prophet Isaiah. And my righteousness shall be revealed, says the Lord through his prophet. And then, as Amos says, then justice will roll down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. And then God's dream will come true. Foreigners will be friends. Outcasts will give offerings acceptable to the Lord. The believing Canaanite woman will embrace the repentant Jew. And all who keep God's Sabbath, all who love the name of the Lord and who cling to the blood covenant of salvation in Christ, all of them will be gathered. And these I will bring to my holy mountain, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. None who comes to Christ in faith will ever be cast out. That is the strong, overarching message of our scripture readings today, and it's God's dream. And to think that in Christ, that big dream is already our reality. We already have this salvation. In a world that is constantly downsizing God's dream and thinks that paradise will be achieved through human politics and cunning, we already have the dream in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what's left for us to do, as the prophet says, is to keep justice and to do righteousness. Because that's how we reflect the new reality of our lives as part of God's new creation. We keep justice. That is to say, we treat others not only as our equals, but as even better than ourselves. Even as Christ cast aside his needs to meet our needs. And that's why, for example, just on a very, very small thing, that's why we wear face masks in a pandemic. Even if we don't like it, even if it's not comfortable, even if it's not our preference, even if we feel we shouldn't have to, but we do it because we put others ahead of ourselves. That's what is just in the sight of God. Not that we lord our rights and our privileges over someone else, but that we get down and wash their feet and yield our rights and our privileges and even our comfort for the benefit of our neighbor. And we do righteousness. We lift up the weak. We pray for the prisoner. We assist the distressed. We seek the lost. We comfort the grieving. We feed the hungry, reflecting the love that Christ had for us and gently inviting everyone to share with us in the new creation. Oh, God has a dream. And you who have Christ in you, you who are already part of that dream, you are also part of bringing someone else into God's dream with us. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to our neighbors around us who are trusting in the false gods of politics, violence, revolution to bring about a better world. Help us as your people to keep justice and to do righteousness, bearing witness to this world's one and only Savior. Help us never to lose sight of your dream for us, that the new creation that has already been instituted through Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, may grow and expand to include people of all the nations. We pray these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.